This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Live, Mr. Gracie Show 121.
121. What's up, yes, everybody? Sir. Welcome in. Welcome in.
And without prior knowledge for Mr. Gracie, our new intro song.
Yes. Hey,
two voices in the air. Whoop. They vibe, they glow.
Let's go.
They got the kind of spark you want to know.
Hey,
dropping thoughts like stars, watch them flow.
Woo.
The gracious blue. What? Oh, yeah.
No, Mr. Gracie.
Uh-huh.
They talk the talk.
Hey.
It's sharp. It's real. Conversations that you want to feel. Every.
All right, we'll give them some more further along there, Chad. But what do you think of that, Mr. Gracie?
Fade out, man.
I know,
that's pretty
I know.
Cool.
Not too shabby.
Now, where'd that come from?
I didn't want to blow our load all on the one thing there, but you're right. We got to get a fade out. It came from... Should I say AI?
I was going to say, is it AI? Fuck.
Yeah, brother.
Anyway.
I got to show you this, dude. Listen to this, man. Now, this is crazy. Have you heard those remixes of some rap songs where they're like making them different?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried one. You're not supposed to be able to do it. But, dude, listen to how fucking crazy this got, dude. This sounds so fucking cool. It is Lose Yourself by Mr. Eminem, mm-hmm. but in this cool ass freaking way. I won't play the whole thing either, but this is groovy, Chad.
Keep song forgetting what he wrote down.
Tell me. I'll just bring it to the chorus, but it's fucking badass, dude. Good show this today. We got Mr. Joshua James coming on, Mr. Electric Moses.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already.
Bomb
spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs.
Ooh.
But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out.
What are you thinking,
joking,
Mr. Gracie?
How everybody's joking now. Clocks run out, time's up, overblow. Snap back to reality. Oh. He knows that, but he's broke, he's so stacked that he knows when he goes back to his mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This whole rap shit, he better go capture this moment. Woo. And hope it don't pass him.
Here we go.
You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. Better never let it go, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. You better lose yourself in the music, the moment you own it. You better never let it go, you only get one.
Sick.
Fucking wild, man.
Sick.
It is a trip.
I got one more for you, Mr. Gracie. Are you ready?
Okay, sure.
This is from your band. Let's not forget your band that you started there, sir. Let me go here.
Not according to one person.
Yeah, that's right. This is kind of dope, though. Pillar of Davidson, redone. Only, I got to start from. Little musical morning for you folks. Let's go.
Warm bodies are sense, and our machines that can only make money. Past perfect tense, words for a feeling, and all I've discovered. Supposed to design to make you high.
What up there, Joshua James? Just rocking out real quick. We see you in the green room.
Long, son, we words for a feeling and all I discover.
Crazy though, not interesting.
What are you using for that?
It's called. So you're not supposed to be able to do this with what I'm doing because it's like copyrighted stuff. So I don't know how I was able to do it, but it's called Suno 2, SUNO2. Yeah, man. It's just really cool, and you could do like a bunch of stuff. I got some other ones that we'll do, but I don't want to make it a whole musical show. But just some fun stuff to show the crowd there with. Yeah, kind of cool though, right?
Yeah.
A little absolutely. Reimagining.
Pretty
I'm going to pass it on to Chad Taylor's. Give him some things for Chad Taylor and friends.
There you go.
Yes,
completely that. Reimagined, yes.
Great show for the audience today. We got Joshua James coming on, Mr. Electric Gnosis, from his YouTube channel, Electric Gnosis. We got Larry Hankin coming on next week. If you folks are fans of Home Alone, Breaking Bad, Friends, Seinfeld, the one and only Larry Hankin will be on next week.
I just watched Home Alone with my daughters.
Did they like it?
Oh, they've loved. Yeah, I mean, I've seen him before, but we decided to watch it the other night. There's good old Larry.
Yes, sir. such a good movie, man. Getting my nephew into it. He likes the part where he puts the aftershave on.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
I got some funny stuff. Oh, Chad, this is funny. For the holidays, sir. Musical note for the folks out there, because this is just hysterical. Here we go.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring a ting a ting a ling a too, ring a ling a ling a ding.
Not too bad there.
That song has been. Have you seen that video of them making those? Like, you get those tins of Christmas cookies, like the butter cookies.
I remember them, yeah.
They're all made in India. And there's, I don't know if it's real, but there's footage of them making this shit in India. And it's disgusting.
Because, like, they're sure.
Throwing the dough on the ground and fucking using their hands and feet to fucking knead it and shit. And then.
Chad, is India.
And then
the
they
country?
Put that song to it.
Is India the country where they like wipe with their left hand because they eat with their right hand? Like, they actually wipe their butt with their left hand, not toilet paper, and they eat with their right?
It's they do that in all, I think, in Middle Eastern cultures too. Yes, they won't, because they shake hands with their right hand, so they don't wipe with their right hand.
I'm letting everybody out there know that I wipe with both hands and shake with both hands. So you're fucked if you come to shake my hand. Ladies and germs.
Right.
Let's go to that video, Bobby, with that Chad wanted you to play with the fart. And then I got a funny one after that. I don't know if you heard me, Mr. Joshua James. We see you in the green room, bringing you on shortly, dude. Good to have you back, brother. All right, let's see what Mr. Bobby is bringing up for us. Hopefully it's shared with audio. But, yes.
My wife and I
this is hilarious.
I just went to the store, the grocery store right by our house.
I think something
just to
really
buy,
dramatic
like, junk
happened.
Food and stuff, you know, because we're really tired.
Yeah.
Just wanted some sweet treats.
Sweet treat.
And we were walking down an aisle.
Uh-oh.
And there were like two guys that walked up next to us, you know. Peyton like walked away. My wife walked away for just a second. And
what happened?
They were like snickering to their like to themselves or something.
Okay. Oh my god.
And,
nothing to like, cry about yet.
I didn't really think much of it, so I'm just looking at the candy aisle trying to decide what candy I want.
Right.
Yeah. Candy.
And he walks by and gets like inches from me and just rips one. Like farts like this far from me. That's disgusting to say. I can't even believe I'm having to say this. But he did. And about that time, Peyton walked up, like didn't witness what happened, but like seconds later, and I'm like upset, and I follow after him, and I was like, is there a reason? You were just so disrespectful to me.
Oh no.
Called you an idiot.
And he never felt so dehumanized.
Oh my god. Listen to this guy.
Wow. That's not funny. That is not funny. Farts are not funny.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this, and I mean this. Public service announcement. Don't fart on strangers.
Listen, all right.
Say it with us.
I mean, okay. Don't go fart on people. It's not funny.
Right.
But Jesus God. Like that causes that kind of trauma in you that you have to come and fucking cry on the internet about it.
But like, Chad, did he fart on her or did just fart? Like,
he farted near her.
Right. Wow. Flatulence.
But you're,
really.
You're such a fucking victim that, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He murdered on me. I was like, I thought she was going to be like, oh, he groped me or he made fun of me with my gay wife. Like, whatever. Nope.
Yeah.
Farted near her.
He took off his clothes and my clothes and dumped on my chest. Something crazy, but a fart? Yeah.
But
don't go to an old person's home, lady.
Make the effort to come and make a fucking video about it and cry about it. I was like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Well,
grow a fucking backbone, man.
Imagine she was the interviewer, Chad, for this interview.
And I know you're
Well, it was the salmon. Sometimes you just get the wrong piece of salmon.
Was that you?
Well, I don't see anybody else in here who's gonna be doing it. Excuse me. But you can show it. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. These things don't bother me.
Good for you.
All right. Well, then we'll start now. Then we'll begin.
Did you hear the starter pistol? Keep your ears open.
All right, now we'll begin.
That's for me too, right? I'm beginning.
Talking with Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Plays the president.
Yes.
What's different about you and the real president?
He did talk show doing that same thing. I think it was either Letterman or some talk show, or it's video footage of him doing it. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, this is something he does? This isn't like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He carries a little fart thing around. He would do it all the time. Yeah.
That's awesome, dude. Good. Oh, so he wasn't actually farting. He was just fucking...
No, he has a little thing. He has a little, like a little mechanism making the farts.
Oh, man.
Yes. He talks about it on that whatever talk show it is. I can't remember who the host was, but he's just talking about it. He's sitting there going, yeah, I mean, you know, it's... You know,
oh, damn.
Thing with me, and I just carried it around.
That's great. Busted them all.
Yeah.
I thought it was I thought he was actually farting. You know, you get older, you don't give a fuck anymore.
Even better, yes, but
yeah. Something strange, Chad. So this is something I got to play this video for you because it blew my mind. And it says the caption of it is "Can't believe there's a whole generation of kids that never seen this gem. And I don't believe they spelled gem right, but again, I don't know how to spell, so maybe they did. This is crazy, though.
Oh, my God.
This kid puts the camera in the room and runs out. This kid doesn't know the camera's there. Watches what he does, dude. He's like, possessed. What the? Like, what?
I can't move. I'm gonna run away. I'm gonna run away and never come back.
It's getting mad at me, dude.
You'll never see me again.
What?
What the hell?
Oh my God. This is like a Jim Carrey scene, bro. It was
They just tried to shove some America's ass.
What? Where did that come from? Out of nowhere. You know he's done that before, Chad, right? Like, that's not something you just break out of nowhere.
That's not an impromptu thing. You just grab something and try to shove it up your ass. Come on, man.
And then he's like, oh, shit, I'm blocked by my boxers. I forgot. Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm just Jesus Christ. You know, when you're a teenager, your parents do something you get pissed at. And you might be fucking yell or... I mean, I might have danced around kind of like that, but not that fucking crazy. And I definitely didn't grab a remote control and try to shove it up my butt.
No. And my tantrums were like maybe 10 seconds. Like, this is going on for minutes, man.
Yeah. Damn.
Hitting himself in. What you got to do with AI, Chad, is morph Phoenix's head on this guy's body and make it like. All right, let's finish it because the kid, whoever put the camera in there is coming in. A velociraptor.
Shut up.
He's like, what? Snapping out of it. Wow. This guy.
The little brother.
Oh my God.
I guess he does that though, Chad, because his brother knew to put that in there to see what the fuck
was
going
not
on.
A one-time thing, that's for sure.
Wow, man. But for real though, if you're caught that, like your kid doing that, like, would you have to bring him to therapy? Like, he's got some things that he needs to work out. That's a level of frustration.
Yeah, that was beyond a normal, like, freak out. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, he's not doing anything like, except for trying to shove the remote up his butt. Like, he's not physically, but, and then he starts hitting himself in the head with his shoe. Like, it was just strange, man. If you saw that as a parent, you might be like, we need to have a talk, sir.
Absolutely. I'd be like, this is a bit overkill. Yeah.
We need to give you an outlet. And he looks like about the age, maybe he's should have discovered spanking his monkey at this point. Maybe that's something going into it. He hasn't released the juices yet. So he's,
one little instance there, I almost thought he had a rage boner because it looked like his underwear was sticking out.
Oh my God.
Rage boner.
People weighing in at like UFCs and stuff get that. I guess when your adrenaline starts to go, like, you know, because they're weighing in their boxers and stuff, they get a little chubby.
There you go.
Yeah, but good show today, man. Mr. Joshua James coming on. It's getting late, so we might as well bring him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And say hello.
Let's get this going. 119.
Let's go. Eastern Standard Time. What's going on, Joshua James?
Hey, guys. Hey, I wanted to apologize. I had a kind of urgent situation come up this morning. Had to get out of the house for something and thought I would make it back in time to do the show. But I didn't make it home. So I didn't want to cancel last minute. But I'm out here on my cell phone. It has pretty good audio. I don't know if we could do it or not. It's up to you guys.
Yeah, let's hang with it.
So far, yeah, totally fine.
If it goes crazy, we'll cut it off and get you back on when you got some more, better time.
Sure, so sure. I apologize. I didn't want to cancel last minute, but I just couldn't make it home in time for. But yeah. So, what did you guys want to talk about to follow up from the last episode?
A bunch of different things. First of all, thank God we have you back on because you gave a lot of information last time. And I'm going to call you Mr. Internal Knowledge, right? Because that's what the Electric Gnosis moniker is about, you getting the internal knowledge and stuff like that. Have you been doing more research since we spoke last time? Is this something that you're going to be continuing this journey on?
Well, yeah, it's nonstop because there's always new stuff that connects to it. I'll give you a good example. So, I think it was just a couple days ago, I was rewatching Anthony Peratt's video where he kind of breaks down what he put in his paper about all this plasma discharge and this phenomenon and the shapes that it makes. And one of the shapes that I saw in his presentation, when this Birkeland current goes from 56 filaments down to 4 as the charge increases and the filaments combine and reduce, at that 4-point filament, it kind of, every one of them is a counter-rotating like spiral, like a vortex. And it pinches this plasma in the middle in the shape of like a star. It looks just like the same star that you see in the Steelers logo, the Pittsburgh Steelers logo, or like the Subaru logo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the same symbol as this Mayan glyph called Lamat. And this glyph that Lamont depicts the same thing that they're finding in this plasma physics, these Birkeland currents, okay, and the Steelers and the Subaru logo. But when I dug into Lamont a little bit more, I found out that it's the symbol that they use for Venus, too. So, again, this seems to always come back to Venus, whether we're looking at Velikovsky with his work on worlds in collusion, or whether we're looking at the biblical stuff where Lucifer falls, and in Latin, lux fair means light bearer, and that was their term, Lucifer, for Venus in Latin. Yeah, so perfect. Now that's the Lamont symbol. Yeah. Now, if you go to my YouTube page, if you can pull that up and look at like the most recent video I've done, I compare that to the plasma pinch, and there's one other. There's like a, you know what the triskelion is, where there's three spirals. It's a Celtic symbol.
Yeah.
But when there's four of them, it's this quadskelion. You don't see it as much as the triskelion. But when those four spirals combine, they pinch that little diamond or that Subaru logo or that Steelers logo or that Lamont logo that represents Venus for some reason. So I've been connecting. I've been finding representations of that just to broaden the different connections. And so the other thing I've recently been looking into that I made a video on, I heard about it a long time ago.
Well, Josh, before you skip to that next one, I just want to ask a question back on this.
Sorry.
No, all good. Do you think that the Subaru, like whoever came up with the logos and for the Steelers, like they have some knowledge of this, or is it a coincidence that their logos match up?
Well, it could be in the ether, right? Like the plasma wanting to be known, like some kind of subconscious, unconscious thing. But when I look at logos like the Hurley logo for the Hurley clothing company and the Under Armour logo, they're clearly Squatting Man logos. So is the XRP logo, right? So I think it's intentionally coded in a lot of this stuff, whether it's the Squatting Man or Saturn or all of these other symbols that are associated with this event. So I think it's intentional to some degree for sure, but some of it could be just, subconscious. I will say that Steelers, right? It's interesting that Stella is the Latin word for star, right? So Stella, right. Steelers, star logo for something steel. So Does this event transmute some things on here and turn them into metal? And there's some kind of alchemy involved in that process that they're hinting at? I don't know. I just, I notice patterns and then I see where it takes me. And one cool thing is when I share it on my YouTube videos or my Patreon or my Discord, other people that have started noticing this or picked up what I'm putting down, chime in their theories, and then we get new things. So one thing I connected that star or that diamond, that plasma pinch from the quadskelion pinching the plasma into that Steelers or Subaru logo,
Yeah.
Is when it's an electric event, so it's not always symmetrical. It evolves and goes through currents and eddies and stuff and fluctuations. So at certain points when it's not symmetrical, it's also going to look like the classic sky manta, right? There's a bunch of different things that I uncovered with pop culture and like cryptids and stuff in pop culture that revert to sky mantas. And this is exactly what they're talking about. And I point that out in my last video. So
that's cool.
That's a recent connection I made to this. And it kind of looks like the fleur-de-lis too, but the sky manta, the plasma pinch, the quad scallion, that diamond in the Subaru logo. That's what I've been looking at lately.
Now, is your research stuff that's just leading you to past events, or is it something that's leading you to maybe foretell stuff that's going to happen in the future with kind of the stuff that
Yeah, it's a good question. And I do think it's cyclical. And I think the biggest clue that we have to when it happens, because, you know, we can't just blindly trust in like what other people say about radiocarbon dating or whatever, you know, what year this happened or how long ago. It's, you know, how do we know what to believe? So we could look at like tree ring data that shows magnetic reversal or near reversal events like LeChomp event and different things. But the thing that I keep coming back to over and over and over, and I'm hoping somebody else can help me crack this because I feel like I've got some pieces, but not the whole puzzle, is the Göbekli Tepe. So there's this site in Turkey called Göbekli Tepe. I'm sure you all know about it, right?
Familiar, yes.
And they've only uncovered 5% of it. And like UNESCO put the brakes on uncovering more of it, or the West did, or Schwab, or whoever, the powers that be, the parasites, right? And but in the 5% they uncovered, there's this very interesting pillar called Pillar 43 is what they call it. They call it, maybe they call it the Vulture Pillar too, or the Vulture Stone.
Familiar, yep.
Mm-hmm. But it's this, what I believe it represents is if you remember the thing, it's like a T-pillar. At the top, there's this like inverted dome. And in the inverted dome, there's literally zigzag patterns. And I think from my research on plasma, that's plasma filling the inverted dome at the top of our sky, in my opinion, right? Or the illusion of it based on whatever. But that's what they were seeing. And right below that, you see this orb or this disc. And that's, I've read a lot of theories on it, but the theory that makes the most sense to me is that is the celestial pole, right? The North Star, the center of the axis, right? And then below that, you see a bird with its wing out. And the best research I've seen seems to indicate that that's Cygnus. Cygnus, the constellation, the bird. And below Cygnus is Scorpio, kind of nipping at Cygnus's heels. And so I think that this is potentially a cyclical event, and that if somebody could figure out when Cygnus is going to be basically holding the North Star or the central star or the axis under its wing with Scorpio nipping at Cygnus's heels, that may give something to us. Because I think the only thing we can really trust is the sky clock, you know. Our dates have been messed with so much, and our history so much. And, you know, even things that I don't know if I brought up last time, but there's guys like, what's his name? Fomenko is his last name. He's a Russian guy. Mm. And then there's a guy named Gunnar Heinzhone, who basically proved through analyzing history and layers of geology that 700 to 1,000 years have been just added to our timeline with these false repeating histories. Mm-hmm. So as far as when it's coming in the future, you know, I think that we do see signs in the skies, you know, like I've shown in some of my videos, petroglyphs that match exactly that double spiral thing that they always try to attribute to SpaceX discharging gas and the gas like coming down through our atmosphere in this spiral pattern. But there's exact petroglyphs and rock art from long ago that match that same pattern, and from what I can see, they were always drawing what they saw in the sky. So, you know, are those signs of those spirals in the sky clues that it's coming in? Maybe soon, maybe.
So are these underground cities? And I'm sorry, Chad, did you have something before I was
just saying wow, that's freaking cool.
So I guess, so these underground societies that they're finding, are these like bunkers basically where these civilizations are going to survive whatever events are happening like above ground at that time? Cause it seems like, if people kind of know about these, you know, events happening and stuff like that, is there just not enough? Like, so apparently this happens every whatever years, and it seems like society, civilization resets itself, and there's not enough resources to have, you know, underground to, you know, take care of the entire planet. So probably the planet gets down to a certain number of people, and then once it cools off or whatever happens up top, they can come back up and stop repopulating. Is that kind of what you're thinking is going on during those times? Or,
well, yeah, and I think, you know, there's, it's, we got to look at the evidence of, you know, is there evidence currently that billionaires are building bunkers? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
If they could get out, you know, out of here some other way, they would need to build the bunkers. So they're building bunkers to survive this event, I believe wholeheartedly, yes. And if we look, you know, I think that comparative mythology and oral history, and especially of the natives and indigenous tribes, are the best thing we can look at. You know, if we look at the Dogon from Africa, all of their symbols encode this event, right? And if we look at the Hopi from the Southwest United States, you know, I'm in Arizona. That's just kind of their area, you know, the Four Corners. And they talked about this event where strange clouds during the day, moving stars at night, and wingless shields. To me, that sounds like sentient plasma or some kind of cloaked ships that we maybe don't even understand, right? Led them to some being named Sotuknang. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's like S-O-T-U-K-N-A-N-G. Or the K and the T could be inverted. It could be Sotuknang, something like that. But and that this being led them underground to these people that they called the ant people. Now, whether they called them the ant people because they looked physically different, you know, the Greeks have the tales about the Myrmidons, which are ant people too, or whether they call them the ant people because they built stuff and lived underground, I don't know. But the tales are that the Hopi that were pure of heart got led underground by these ant people, and they were, you know, helped them survive this fiery cataclysm on the earth. And then, you know, their whole emergent story is that they came from underground. So it all seems to fit, yeah, with what's going on with the elite bunkers and what the Hopi told us about the past. And this really seems... You know, the Greeks called it the, like, ekpyrosis, right? Pyrosis is related to fire, P-Y-R, fire, like pyrotechnics, right?
And
it's ekpyrosis. It's this fiery cataclysm. The Hindus called it the Kali Yuga, the last, the most debased cycle before the cataclysm that resets things. And in the Bible, it talks about it in Revelation. And the Hindu stuff, they have tales about, you know, weapons, quote unquote, going off as bright as 10,000 suns and wars between the gods. In the Greek stuff, they talk about wars in the heavens between the gods, right? Which could have been planets or plasma phenomenon exchanging discharge up there, which we see with the thunderbolts of the gods and all that stuff that I talked about in the last episode. So it just seems like every single, and if we look right at Cappadocia in Turkey, it's these things they call fairy chimneys, and they just look like melted conical roofs of structures. And it just so happens that below Cappadocia is Derinkuyu, which is like 13 to 14 stories deep and just this entire underground city. So is it a city that's partially covered in its own melt and mud flood, or is it the remnants of something that they dug and tunneled and built to try to get under there and survive this, kind of like the people are doing now, the billionaires, right? And even in Revelation, it talks about how the elect and the kings and princes will seek shelter under the earth, and they will cry out to for the mountains to protect themselves from the wrath of the Lord, you know, and that wrath will melt mountains, you know. It's, and these are not, if you look at those fairy chimneys, there's also, I just did another video called Melted Mess, and I compare in another country in the Himalayas, there's these brick structures that look like towers with these little triangle roofs, and it's exactly what it would look like if they got like marshmallowed, like heated so much to where they started ballooning or popcorning out, like from the heat. Heat makes things expand, right? Yeah. And at a certain heat, I just posted something on my YouTube post where there's a study done in like the 1920s or something showing the melting point of different bricks, right? So at a certain temperature, brick will become viscous. It will lose its color. It will become kind of liquid. It will balloon out. And depending on how long the heat is applied, it'll re-solidify, right? And end up in this looking like those things did, right? They're just, right. It's just fried architecture is what it is.
Do you have an estimation of how long the duration of the cycle is? Like, we talk 12,000 years, 14, like, do you have any idea or any thoughts?
I think personally that there are cycles within cycles. So there are many events that go off at localized areas and not as crazy. But I for some reason, I just keep coming back to, I think there are two cataclysms as part of approximately 26,000 year cycle. The big ones, you know, the alpha omega events, not that there aren't smaller, more localized ones in between. But the reason I think this is because each day the sun rises, it rises in front of a constellation as the backdrop. That backdrop is the same backdrop for about 2,160 years. Okay. So that determines what age we're in. When people say we're in the age of Pisces, that means when the sun rises, the backdrop of the sun is the Pisces constellation. Now, as you move over those 2,160 years, slowly the sky clock changes. The sun will rise with a different backdrop. Now, either we have or are about to or just have moved into the age of Aquarius, where Aquarius will be the backdrop. So they say we're in the age of Aquarius. Now, 12 times 2,160, 12 constellations times the period for each age leads you to like 25,920, just short of 26,000 years. Mm-hmm. And I just seem to see a lot of evidence of these 13,000 year cycles, whether it's in talking to people who were researching stuff with Anthony Peratt and looking at the tree ring data and the records that the magnetic events left in the tree ring data called LeChomp events. So I think the big ones go off every approximately 13,000 years. And I think that the precession of the equinox, which is what that is, right? The ages, right? That 26,000 year cycle where the sun rises in front of a different constellation is either analogous to or part of a larger cycle that the Hindus and the Mayans were tracking, right? Because if you look at the Mayan calendars, they're always like these wheels within wheels, these gears. And the Yuga cycle, you know, it talks about cycles similar to the precession of the equinox, so these different ages. And even Carl Jung was talking about, he would read the Sibylline oracles, this ancient Greek stuff. And the Sibylline oracles were, some people say that's where Revelation comes from, the inspiration for Revelation in the Bible. But they were talking about, as we transition from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius, that transition inflames the savage forces of Lucifer.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I think that I know we've talked about on our past episode, the younger Dryas, and whether we trust in the dating of everything or not, and what's real, what's not. That seems like it was about 13,000 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So we could be knocking on the door of another event real soon, but I don't like to say a date, but I also don't want people to think it's doom and gloom, right? If we listen to the Hopi, there's like sentient plasma, and if we really research plasma, it does seem like sentient plasma is sentient, and 99% of this realm is plasma, and that all these stories about the meek shall inherit the earth, and you know, the righteous of heart being protected in some way. I've read studies that they'll have people look at a plasma ball, you know, those orbs, those balls. And they just emanate the plasma, right? The purple usually. And they would try to focus the plasma to go to the left or the right or the top or the bottom. And they would use different ways to try to influence it. And what the researchers found was that it did respond to intention, but not always in the way that the practitioner intended.
Okay.
So what that would lead me to believe is it doesn't obey you or follow your intention unless you're, you know, you're pure or you're resonant in some way with good, or however that's judged by whatever cosmic force judges that. But this realm, the more I look into it, the more it seems to be sentient, you know. And people like Carl Jung were pointing out things like synchronicities, and that was actually followed up by John C. Lilly did some work, and he called it the echo system, the Earth Coincidence Control Organization. And it was like just an analogy, not something literal, but just this term he used to describe this concept of this cosmic intelligence that operates through us and maybe beyond our perception, that aligns things in our life, and that when we notice those things, it gives us clues and we start noticing more things, and these just your life unfolds in ways that cannot be chance and coincidence. It's too perfect, like things are put there. And I choose to honor that and look for that. And I think that whether you can choose to like believe that nothing is sentient and this realm is just pure chance and from an explosion, or you can look at it the complete opposite way, or you can have a balance. And I think the balance is healthy, but I think it's really healthy to at least explore that side of pursuing synchronicity and bliss, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that this could be the God's Armageddon story, where the fiery earth and stuff like that is ridding the earth of the bad people and the good people stay type of deal.
I mean, what it seems like it does is it does send. Yeah, exactly. Like a judgment type event. And the people that know about it, that have the resources, will build bunkers and go underneath and try to. The thing is this event, from researching it, reading plasma physicists talk about it, Anthony Peratt. This isn't just me spouting some nonsense, right?
Right.
There would be so much synchrotron radiation, like deadly, intense radiation associated with this event, that the people who, at times, not the entire time, right? There's periods and peaks of its discharge process, right? And okay. Anthony Pratt thinks this thing might have been seen in the sky for like literally a millennium, right?
Wow.
And at its peak process, at the peak discharge, the synchrotron radiation would have been so intense that anybody seeing it probably would have been dead already, whether they managed to scribble anything on walls after being exposed to it or what, right? But even, like, I think that's where some of the myths and some of the and pop culture comes from. Like, think about this, right? Marvel, right? Let's look at the word Marvel, okay? And I'm going to shout out to Jay Dreamers again. I had him on my show, by the way. He was checking in here.
Cool.
Rock on, dude.
He kind of hit me to this idea where, you know, looking into etymology. So in ancient times, the V and the U are interchangeable. If you look in a lot of old texts, like the word Saturn would be with a V, right? Saturn, just the U Saturn. And the V. It's interchangeable. You could probably pull up examples on if you wanted to see it, but or you could trust me, right? The U and the V were interchangeable in the past.
Yeah.
So you break down Marvel and you get the word Maru. Mount Maru. Right? Ooh. The mountain at the center of our realm. And then what's left over is L, right? Or what would be associated with God or electricity, right?
Oh shit.
And in his whole world is filled with the people who go through sometimes radioactive events and get superpowers, right? So I think I honestly think that the people who don't die will kind of adapt and form some kind of through our dormant DNA or something, will develop these latent, or they are latent, but they will become manifest, these, I guess you could call them superpowers, but they would be adaptive biological responses to surviving high radioactive environments in our environment, right?
Evolving,
some
yeah.
Would be beneficial, some would be not beneficial, and some would come with, you know, maybe subtle or not so subtle abilities and powers. And I think that the elite, when they hide, like, I don't know how long. My point is, I don't know how long that radiation lasts, that synchrotron deadly radiation.
Yeah.
But I think there might be like a period of, let's just say 1,000 years, just whatever, where they are underground, and the meek that survive up here get to be free before they come back up with their retained electromagnetic knowledge, the magnetism knowledge, the magicians, the magi, the mages, and go around reconquering everything, right? Like re-civilizing, recolonizing is what it seems like to me. So,
Okay. That's cool.
Is Elon Musk trying to do something good? Because, you know, he's got the underground, the boring company that's doing the tunnels and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's building bunkers. But is he trying to do the most for humanity by trying to get us to Mars? So if an event happens like this, that we have a bigger place for kind of society to flourish while those 1,000 years are going on or stuff like that. Like, it seems like maybe he's tuned into stuff like this.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is, you know, I don't trust anybody that it has a lot of power that isn't dead. Because I think if they were, like, on the side of the good people, that they'd be dead, right? Because, like, I know I mentioned this last episode, but I think it's worth re-mentioning, especially.
So, James, just real quick there. Yeah. Elon seems to be, like, one of the one person that was able to skirt around. Like, I believe exactly what you're saying. Like, if they know too much, they're dead. They're out of here. He seems to be the one person that accumulated enough wealth and power to kind of skirt around that. That's why he was able to buy Twitter and like kind of save free speech like that. It seems like he's the one person that is just a step ahead of that kind of narrative where, like, if you know too much, you're gone. So
maybe, I mean, maybe. I'm not, I don't claim to know it all. Right. And the things, the two things that I would point out just real quick are one. So I don't forget this one. There's a book that Wernher von Braun wrote. The head scientist from the Germans who came over here after World War II to start to help start NASA with Operation Paperclip, right? Yep. He wrote a book, something about something to do with colonizing Mars or something. And the main character, the head guy in the book that did all this, was called El Elyon.
Right.
So that brings me back to, like, the Ingersoll Rand books about, like, Baron Trump's mysterious underground adventures. And, you know, is this coincidence or is this planned long in advance? And this is just elite people doing elite stuff and having fun. I don't know the answers to that. But what I will say is, you know, Chad, you were in Live, Chad, the band Live, right? So you know a little bit about how the music industry works. One thing I did want to ask you about is the cover for Throwing Copper, right? It looks like this giant reptilian being leading people off a cliff with a holy book.
Yeah. But anyway,
anyway, okay. A lot of people in the music industry, such as Chester Bennington, Chris Cornell, Avicii, Michael Hutchins, right?
And outside from NXS. The music industry,
like Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, there's a couple other ones, David Carradine, they end up hanging around a doorknob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So I mean, maybe that's a specific punishment for revealing stuff about the trafficking stuff, and there's different calling cards for different. Revealing different types of stuff.
Yep.
But I just, the fact that that happens, and there's so many of them, and, like, even Anne Heche and Paul Walker, too, you could maybe throw into that, but just they were
going to be different. Because, really,
you know, when Anne Heche, she popped back out of that body bag. You know,
I talked about this on the show a couple episodes back.
You know, on live TV, and everybody's
insane.
But, so I just think that somebody who is actually trying to help humanity and going against one of the one or two really, really elite groups, if there are two factions or whatever, my gut tells me they'd be dead. But man, hopium is nice, and I mean, whether you hope that Elon's going to save us or somebody else, or that the plasma is sentient and this realm is sentient and whatever you want to call God or source is going to save those who deserve being saved, that's fine with me. You know, because I mean, it's crazy, and I don't know what to believe. I just point out what I notice and share my thoughts and not try to force any opinion on anybody.
Somebody had a question about Göbekli Tepe. Supposedly they found Noah's Ark was there or something like that. Have you heard anything about that?
So there have been a place near Turkey or in Turkey, not exactly Göbekli.
Yeah, Mount Ararat, they think the Ark is on.
What's interesting about that is, I'll go into a couple things on that, is there's a guy named Ron Wyatt. And they're really controversial, right? There's a lot of evidence that suggests it's all fraudulent and he's just trying to make money off this. But then there's some interesting stuff that to be seen, too. But what interests me is, like, every culture, every ancient culture has a tale of the flood and, like, some being saving them from the flood. In China, it's Nuwa and Fushi. In Mesopotamia or Sumeria, it's... I forgot his name, Upitnishad or Zarathustra, right? And there's a flood in Greek called the Deucalion, right? So it seems like this is the same thing as Atlantis, just one of the tales of these recurring cataclysms by fire and flood, right? They alternate cycles, as the Hopi say, and we're in the fifth world or coming into the fifth world. So this has happened quite a few times at least. But what is interesting is I think that in addition to a lot of the Old Testament depicting stuff that happened in the sky, I'm starting to follow this thread where it seemed like there was a group that tried to reenact those stories kind of in real life in the Middle East. and were naming themselves after these deities and trying to almost reenact some of these events. And when I look at, because there is a lot of real history encoded in the Bible where it talks about these warring tribes, and even tablets and writings found outside the Bible have kind of like the Moabites worship this deity called Shamash, right? And there's records that line up on both sides to indicate there really were warring tribes going on in those times. And what's interesting to me is in the records of, in the Sumerian records, there was a character that one of the Sumerian lords was trying to get to submit to him, basically, and help him finance his temple. And the name of that person he was trying to get to submit and give him money to build his temple, he was called the Lord of Ararat, or which is just like, or the Lord of Arata, I think, which are just something so close to Ararat, and it was in that general area. So do I think the biblical flood happened? Yes, but I think that that is the biblical account is just one regional account of it, and there are many other accounts of the same thing. And I don't think the God in the Old Testament who demanded sacrifice and virgins and gold and silver and the, you know, genocide and things like that, I don't think that's the God we're really talking about when most of us think of God. I think that's a... There were regional warlords with advanced tech back then, and the Ark of the Covenant was like a radioactive, like Hutchinson-type weapon, right?
Right.
Right, so those were man-made thoughts that came with that God in the Old Testament. Not...
I think so. And I think a lot of it's like this hodgepodge of a little bit of its astrotheology, in my opinion. It's telling us events that happened in the sky, because they mention El as the God at one point in the Bible. They talk about Yahweh, right? And it's really unclear whether El and Yahweh are different characters. But when you start researching etymology and the Canaanite gods and the Phoenician gods and how each of those gods were connected to specific planets, and then you start connecting that to what we were talking about, Belikovsky and Venus and the Saturn worship, a very clear picture starts to emerge. It really does, of a different alignment above us in the past, it seemed like. A different configuration in our night sky, where there was this like polar alignment. And Saturn, we could call it El, we could call it Kronos, we could call it Satan, right? And then Jupiter, we could call that Zeus, we could call it Thor, we call it Deus Pater, right? That's where it comes from. That's the Proto-Indo-European root of it all, is Deus Pater. Deus means star, and Pater means father. So it's basically the father star, right? Yeah. And that's where in Star Wars they get Darth Vader from. Deus Pater, Darth Vader. But Darth Vader is the dark star, which is Saturn, and the star father is Jupiter. And then Luke Skywalker, Luke, Lucifer, that's Venus right there, right? And Saturn, Venus, and Mars used to be in this kind of alignment, and Jupiter was chilling behind it but obscured, right? You couldn't see it. And then Venus fell or descended from that alignment. Lucifer caused a lot of electromagnetic destruction because it exchanged electromagnetism with the Earth, carved canyons and melted mountains and caused this stuff in our sky, probably. That's one theory. It acted as like a comet descending. And somehow, that's like the same story as Phaeton in Greek. Phaeton driving his father's sun chariot, getting it too close to the Earth, burning it. And then Zeus, which is Deus, Zeus, right? The D, the J, the Z, Deus, Zeus, which is Deus Pater, which is Jupiter, then somehow emerges or gets disrupted and gets jostled and comes out from behind being obscured by Saturn and somehow gets involved. It's in the Greek, it says that Zeus struck Phaethon down after Phaethon drove his father's sun chariot too close to the Earth, right? So whether it's, you know, Zeus or Jupiter, Deus Pater. For some reason, they call it Thor in the Norse stuff. But otherwise, the etymology flows pretty well from Deus Peter to Jupiter to Zeus, right? It all sounds very similar.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Wow.
Have you had any hardcore religious zealots coming after you for putting stuff out like this?
I have. And sure. I think the, you know, I kind of made one initial kind of like response video to address it. And then I just let it be. What I do on my channel, on my YouTube anyway, is like, if somebody has a respectful comment and it's just like, hey, man, I enjoy your videos. It kind of opened my eyes to a few things that I wasn't aware of, but I still think that, you know, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and you must repent to him. And, but I really enjoy your videos and much love. Hey, that comment stands. Cool.
Sure.
Cool. You're fine. That's respectful. Right. But if somebody comes in saying that I'm, I don't know, satanic and leading people astray and that I'm going to burn in eternal hellfire if I don't repent and follow the one true God or something. Yeah. And I just silence their comments and then they howl into a void of nothingness if they try to get on my channel and save smart myself the exactly stress.
Let them rage into nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Randall Carlson and Graham Hancock, they've both talked about how they think, you know, the flood myth comes from the Younger Dryas event. From the massive ice sheets melting and causing the massive floods that, then and then also, I mean, you know about Tanis in Egypt, right? With the giant statues that have been blown apart and they're all kind of singed, basically on one side.
Massive
heat and radiation. That. So I was thinking about that while you're talking about the radiation that, you know, would flood the earth and cause people to go underground. It's like it seems like there's signs of it all over the place, especially particularly at Tanis. In Egypt, because there's 100,000 ton statues that have been blown apart and are singed like the rock has been melted.
Yeah, almost like a solar wave or coronal mass ejection or some kind of heat blast or discharge something.
It would be definitely something would cause plasma in the atmosphere if it was that kind of heat, right? I mean,
because
real quick before we go crazy far, I just want to say, so this kind of makes sense though for the world for these scientists harboring all these ideas and stuff to not want to put this narrative, like the truth forward, because it seems like it's almost like inevitable that it's going to happen and we don't really have anything in place to, you know, to help to stop it or enough resources to get everybody underground. So it seems like maybe they know all this, but they're not saying it, so it doesn't cause like mass hysteria. And then, like, if we don't have enough stuff for it, it's like, why not be crazy during this time now? Because eventually, it's all going to lead to fucking hellfire, basically. So it seems like maybe that's the reason why these people don't want any of these narratives out there, because this shit happens, and we don't have a course of action to stop it. And resources enough to really bring everybody along underground or to another planet when it's going on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you two things. Is one, you know, Anthony Peratt, according to my chats with his long-term side-by-side research partner over 25 years, John McGovern, okay? I've had conversations with him. He's commented on my YouTube videos. I've had email exchanges with him. He claims that Anthony Peratt, that at a certain point, the government tried to basically silence his stuff and said, we want to take over your supercomputer and your plasma physics and your petroglyph research, and we're prepared to give you a tenured position at the University of Pennsylvania to do so, make that work for you. And he said no, and he rejected it. Basically, after that point, all their future studies were basically silenced, right? And they were kind of swept under the rug. And in addition to that, there has been a guy, his name was Brian Austin Lambert. He went on YouTube years ago by BAL33. He had a girlfriend or wife, I'm not sure, named Mia. And they put out a lot of research similar to what I put out and what JDreamers puts out, but really just focused on the model, how it could be possible, right? Not anything connecting like esoteric or right brain like I do, really. We're connecting it to glyphs and symbols and that. Yeah. But he called it the EMPCO, the electromagnetic pulse, EMP, EMPCO, change over event, electromagnetic pulse change over event, EMPCO. And basically theorized that this was some kind of like reversal of our pole, like the LeChamp event, like a magnetic pole incursion or flip or reversal or whatever. And he you know, his stuff is basically scrubbed from YouTube, but there are people who have uploaded to other platforms and you can still find it. It can be challenging though. But him and Mia died, Brian Austin Lambert and Mia died under very, very, very mysterious circumstances. And it was claimed it was, you know, self-induced.
Yeah, that happens a lot, but, by the way.
But, yeah, yeah, exactly, right? So I think those two things point to agree with you on what you're saying, that that they don't want the masses to know this. Because, you know, even if they could save everybody, I don't think they would want to. I think that it's easier for them to kind of control the population, you know, and manage these resets if nature does a lot of the work for them and they can just hide out underground for a while.
Yeah. Because controlling 8 billion people underground.
They want us being good financial slaves and contributing to how easy their life is until the last minute, you know? So they, if they told us all this is going to happen, if everybody knew within the next 20 to 50 years or periodically, for better, lack of a better term, God resets and cleans the evil off this earth and it's a cataclysmic event, how would that change the way everybody behaved and lived their life? Would people turn into this like shamanistic society where everybody fled away from society and danced around fires and tried to commune with the spirit to prevent this thing from happening again via things getting negative and going through feedback loops? And would they try to teach their children that this is the way and you must not, you know, because that's how it is with the Hopi and the, some of the native tribes, is they've told their children, like, we must maintain this way of life, reject all technology when it comes. And it's just interesting, you know, to seem, it seems like there's this big, big cycle and some people retain or tap in to that knowledge and act accordingly. And it's just crazy how it connects to everything, how widespread it is.
But let's just say that this was God doing this and this was to rid the world of evil and stuff like that. If they, once he did that and they, you know, everything reset, if they just train the new people like, hey, we got to stay good, otherwise this could happen again, maybe that would change world and then people would lead to the good stuff and not have to have another massive reset because too much evil has taken over the world and needed to be reset. So it's like kind of a catch-22.
That's what the Hopi talk about, and the Hopi's end of the world myth or whatever, they're heading into the fifth cycle, they talk about this timeline or this line or this path or trajectory that we're on, and that if we kind of reject this inversion and this way of perverting nature and going against creation, that things will be good. But if we don't, then there's going to be destruction again. So in my mind, the reason why it's not, why in the Bible and stuff they talk about no man will be able to tell the hour is because I don't think it's set in stone on when it happens. I think it's this feedback loop. Since plasma is 99% of the, you know, everything, and it's shown signs to be sentient, I think that whatever's happening individually, like the echo, right, the Earth Coincidence Control Center and synchronicities, I think that's also, as well as individually, I think that's happening collectively, right? So I think that based on what we output, we can control what comes back at us. And I think maybe, like I said in the last episode, either the elite, certain factions of them, don't know that this is some kind of feedback loop and think it's inevitable, so they revolt against the creator because they know they're damned, they think they're damned anyway. Or this other cycle that's brought upon when these atmospheric conditions change and it's more oxygenated and maybe there aren't any areas that are cold, it's just tropical everywhere like it's depicted in old maps. Maybe there's certain factions that want to accelerate this cataclysm to bring on this other cycle, right? Because it's just better and more enjoyable to live in, right? So they're basically doing everything they can to harvest negative energy, negative emotion. Our emotions are electromagnetic. Right? We emit light. We emit electricity. We're biophotonic electromagnetic beings. So when we suffer or emit negative emotions, if we're in some kind of feedback loop, that just gets projected back at us and it enhances that loop. But I think that the minute we deprogram from the matrix and get out of being kept in a constant state of fear and agitation and being pitted against each other and start pursuing our bliss, that we transmute that and send completely different vibes. And if we can do that collectively, I think we can change the outcome of what's going to go down personally.
Yeah, and that sounds like a way better outcome than fucking the ones we're pontificating now. You know what I'm saying? It's just, and it seems like the people that are saved during these resets, like they're saving the wrong people, because if they're in this constant negative feedback loop where they're just trying to get to that, you know, spot again where the earth is depopulized, it's like, you know.
Well, I think some people have figured out a way to cheat it by going underground, right? So it's not, there's right. not really, it's harder for, like,
right.
I don't think this is a foolproof thing, right? Like this is a continuous dance and kind of some kind of like test or school or evolution process where if the creator, if there is a creator or the cosmic intelligence or source or generator of dimensions or God or whatever you want to call it, if he eliminated evil from this world somehow, which I don't think he really can because everything's relative, right?
And if, you need that yin and yang,
everything was really, really awesome, even the slightest derivation from awesome would be negative and horrible, right? Because it's all perspective. But even right. if they could narrow that spectrum, so to speak, then that would seem to eliminate free will. And if you eliminate free will, then what's the point of anything, right?
True.
How can we really grow if we don't have free will? So it's such a paradox, but it's such a fun thought experiment to have, to figure out why, you know? And
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, it all ties together. I think the people that, like the religious people that look at this as like negative, it's like they could look at it as proof of God and, you know, all that stuff, as opposed to trying. It's just not their version of it. I think that fucks with them. Yeah,
they live in dogma. That's the problem.
Yeah. People get too attached to their version, right? And it's funny because I was just made a comment earlier on somebody's post where they. We're trying to debate the existence of God. And I said, well, you know what? Before you can debate that, before you can debate anything, really, the existence of it, you have to define it.
Right. True.
So, and if you asked 100 people to define something, you probably get at least 97 different versions. Yeah. So how can you debate something that nobody has the same idea of what it is in their head? So, you know, if it's not your version, I'm sorry. But, wow. I mean, just the fact that we're in some kind of realm where when the gas becomes the original state or fourth state of matter and ionizes into this glowing plasma state, it can do tricks and conform to our magnetic field and exhibit signs of sentience, and all of nature unfolds in this like Fibonacci spiral golden ratio kind of prime number kind of matrix code, right? And there are rules behind this realm that govern the physics of it and different things like that. And if somebody can't accept that and accept the fact that if it is sentient and it does help the people who deserve the help in different ways, I mean, that's almost the most magical definition of God I could get, you know? Like, beyond that, it's too big to describe. It's ineffable, indescribable, unknowable. But, you know, I don't know what some people would imagine it is if it's not some invisible force that kind of governs the way things work around here.
Well, it's a dude with a white flowy
beard
robe and a big beard. Yeah, that's what it is. If it's not that, then it's nothing. You
right.
know? Right. Yeah, man. Because when you the way you explain it, it makes a lot of sense in all the, you know, theories we have out there. Like this one seems to kind of hit you home and like, wow, yeah, that seems like he's onto something here. And it's just freaky though. Yeah. And like you said, the free will thing, that, cause I was making the point where is like, he keeps resetting it and it's not the right people aren't getting there. But yeah, if you take that out, the free will's not there. And then what is the point?
No, it's like modern day archaeology, you know, it's set in dogma. And anytime you try to find evidence of maybe this stuff is real, they try to cover it up. Just like go back to Tepli.
Yeah.
Know, it's like, oh, we found something that's old, way older than the pyramids, like, you know, 12,000 years old, but it was purposely covered over back right. in the day. No one knows why, but the modern day archaeology won't even let you freaking, you know, investigate that, or they'll try to, like, for instance, Graham Hancock, they call him racist and all these things when he tries to, like, bring up these new theories. They're like, you're a racist, you know? It's freaking nuts what happens. But it's the same thing with religious dogma. So it's like, you know, you try to investigate something and they come at you.
Yeah, Graham will say, hey, these native people in Peru are claiming that they didn't build these structures.
Right.
Oh, that's racist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so much to unpack, man.
Well, and then I don't know if we really talked about it last time, but I got a few minutes left. I got to go pretty soon. But the whole idea of even race kind of gets me on a thought kind of quest, because I've done a lot of research into, like think about this, right? Where is the sun, the source of our electromagnetic radiation, the UV rays, the ultraviolet rays, where is that the most intense on this planet?
The equator.
The equator, yeah.
Okay. Where are the absolute most melanated, darkest people found on this planet?
Same.
At the equator.
At the equator, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as you get further away from the equator in either direction, you get less intense UV, less sun, less solar radiation. So when we get all the way towards what would be considered the North Pole, we find like the people from Norway and the Sweden people, Denmark. What melanation level do they have?
White pigment.
The lowest, and blonde hair, blue eyes, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So it seems like throughout these cataclysms and these changes that sometimes whether people miss out on natural sunlight from being underground for a long time or from being trapped in icy regions for a long time.
Wow.
Adapt.
Wow.
Right? Because here's the thing is if I'm Caucasian. If I'm at the equator, I'm getting too much sun, I'm getting burned. And my ability, there are these little enzymes within our cells and our body that help us convert sunlight into vitamin D.
Right.
And it fries that stuff in Caucasian people near the equator because too much UV radiation. So the skin color or melanation level seem to be an adapt or a response or an adaptation to the level of solar energy and UV radiation that either somebody needs protection from. Or flip that, right? When they're not getting enough of it, we need the sun to synthesize vitamin D, right? So if we're not getting as much sun, it would make sense that we didn't have as much melanin, right?
Yeah.
So more sun could get in to synthesize that vitamin D. And in addition, the one kind of exclusion to this rule are the Eskimo people. But there's lots of evidence to show that they were a more recent migration. So nature had a lot of time to adapt. And also, they deal with a lot of sun reflection from the snow and ice.
Right.
True.
So that, and they have a lot of fish in their diet, which is a natural source of vitamin D. So that kind of explains the holes in the gap there. But so when people start arguing about race and stuff, and it's like, man, if you were born 100,000 years ago when the sun was different and this entire planet had more UV radiation, you'd have been black too. And if you were born 100,000 years in the future when everything's ice or you were underground, man, you'd be white too. So it's just... To me, I don't get lost in that racism stuff.
I think it's, you know, the elites use it just to further divide us into these.
Oh, everything they can divide us, they do exactly. Divide us. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I don't mean to cut us short here, but I do need to get going. My phone's about to die, and I gotta get on with a few other things. But it's been a pleasure chatting with you. I appreciate Absolutely. You having me on.
Of course.
And I'd love to talk to you guys again. Just shoot me an email, and next time I'll make sure that I'm home for it.
No worries, man. Thank you
for coming
so
on, dude.
For coming on again. Yes, absolutely. All right. Great.
Take care, y'all.
Be good. And good luck on your journey. We'll have you on again. James Joshua James. Electric Gnosis. Go check out his channel on YouTube. That's blowing up. He's given a lot of good information and a lot of stuff to just open your eyes. We're not saying this is gospel or anything like that, but just something to look into and think about.
Fascinating, which is, as always. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of kind of these shows, Chad, is you can have people on like that are doing quasi research that's not on the same narrative that we've all been on, and, you know, have people think about it and let them check it out themselves. We're not saying that this is the case, but he's putting out some good evidence there.
He started getting onto something about, you know, me personally and the band, like, you know, we were in the music industry. We were pretty successful, but I feel like we never attained the level of success like a, you know, Whitney Houston or some of the giant artists like Michael Jackson, et cetera, where we would be approached by the evil powers that be, or at least not me personally, maybe it happened to one of the other guys. I don't know, but.
Cause you're like a little too either smart for it type of deal, or you wouldn't be like, they could probably tell who they can get and who they can't get. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not getting you, dude. You know, no matter what, you know, you can't be bought.
Don't fuck off.
Yeah. But maybe the guy who started the band, you know, it was. So you never know.
You never know.
You never know, bro.
I think they like to go after singers.
That's true. That is true. I want to do play something that's kind of funny here, dude, and just kind of shows some talent here. But yeah, man, that Joshua James leaves us with so much stuff to kind of think about and unpack, and hopefully the audience does too. And I hope you guys enjoyed out there. Last time he was on, we got a bunch of good feedback. So I was talking to him, like, you know, through private messages and stuff. I said he's got to be like a recurring character we bring on like a couple times a year just to kind of catch up and all that jazz. Don't forget next week peeps, Larry Hankin coming on, trying to bring him around for the holidays, because you know, Captain Home Alone.
That's right, Larry Hankin coming back.
Yes, the one and only. But this is kind of cool, Chad. A little beef between Eminem and Nelly.
Eminem, I don't play with candy, you know what I'm saying? I eat M&M's flat out, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, Nelly, tell Angelina Jolie I'm ready with petroleum jelly to smear it all over me belly. And tell her she can hit me on me mobile me celly and meet in the salami section of the grocery deli. And maybe we can find us an appropriate telly, a Motel 6 or 8, I think they both could be helly. Then I quit it, then I told her email me and don't call me, I'll call you, can you feel me, do you smell me? Animal instinct, cannibalistic, yeah. I just ran out of lipstick, man, I'm a twisted, six sadistic, son of a 666, broke his crucifix, made out of sticks, then fixed it. Now play it backwards, muscle relaxes, mixed with liquid, the latter is diluted for quick fix, you're delusional, illusions look realistic.
Had to play that, dude. How talented is that guy?
Oh, amazing talent, obviously, just how you can weave together words like that. But what is he talking about, specific things between Nelly and Angelina Jolie? Like, what was he referencing there?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I just saw it and kind of was like, wow, that's fucking talent.
Yeah, definitely talent. I'm curious about what the fuck he's talking about. He's talking about diluted and muscle relaxers and a hotel. Yeah. But he mentioned Angelina Jolie. Did they have Nelly and Angelina Jolie were together or something? I don't know.
You heard it here. I think so.
Cool.
Chad, and this is something I gotta play for you, bro, that brings you back, dude, to when the world was fun and you could goof around and not be this is hysterical. Wait, this is Andrew Dice Clay.
Did not cry when someone farted on you, you mean?
Yeah, those times. Remember that?
Someone farted on me.
Oh my god, it smelled as shit. This is Andrew Dice Clay, though. Just listen. This is fucking hysterical, bro.
Yeah.
You got these other people, right? I don't know what they are. They're not white. They're not black. They're like urine colored, you know? They walk around with their fucking laundry on their head and shit. You know what I'm saying? See, let me tell you something. I grew up in a neighborhood with black, white, that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? I could relate to black guys. I could hang out with black guys. I can't hang out with a guy whose name is Ahnad. I can't see saying to my mom, hey, mom, I'm going to the ballpark. Me and Ahnad are going to play a little basketball. You know what I'm saying? They don't know the fucking language. It's unbelievable. I get in a cab, right? I get in a fucking cab. And I say to the guy, get me to the Theater of Living Arts, right? So this guy turns around with that smell. They never heard of soap, these fucking people, right? With that fucking smell, and he's looking at me. Hey, what are you doing? I'm you fucking geek, huh? Where did they grow you? What rock did you crawl out from under, huh? They should have a sign at the airport that says, look, if you don't know the language, get the fuck out of the country.
Could you imagine doing that today, dude?
Yes.
He would be. It's just, you know, you're having fun. You're, you know, just making fun, man. Making people laugh. Mm-hmm. People are so uptight nowadays. Yeah, man. Good stuff. And then, Mr. Gracie. Always got to leave with a blooper here.
Blooper.
This blooper reel. This is hysterical, man. This lady's interviewing somebody on a yacht, and what happens next?
Een van de drie prachtige historische Hansesteden in de IJsseldelta. Want hier wordt binnenkort het grootste paasevenement van Nederland georganiseerd. Seal Kampen. Burgemeester, wat is er nou zo bijzonder aan Zeelkampen?
Als je de mooiste...
Daar gaat hij goed.
Is deze kant op?
Blown away.
Probeer.
It's gonna be cold that's too. That's great. That looks like it's in the Netherlands. It sounded like that's.
Yeah, so it's freezing over there.
Yeah, so yeah, that, the water was cold for sure.
I like that. She goes to like lean, hold on the rope, and whoop, right in, man. And but the dude that she was talking to, he like took off a necklace and was like trying to get her to grab it. I'm like, dude, that's not helping
here
at all.
Here, yeah. Here's a little scarf.
Yeah.
Then throw her a life ring. Here you go.
Boom shakalaka.
Obviously some good current there too.
Yeah, man. All right, let's bring on the one and only Bobby from Bobby's World. What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys?
What up?
I wanted to actually go over something. The New Economist magazine, the cover.
Oh, that should be fun.
Let me bring it up.
You brought up one a while ago.
Demonic goddamn.
All right.
Bullshit.
You guys got it shown?
It's coming up right now. There you go, Babe.
Ah.
All right. So look at this. It's an explosion of chaos that's coming up for 2026, I would guess.
That's what they want to happen.
Get all the symbolism in it. I mean,
rockets, fucking vaccines.
Trump on one side, it seems, right? He's to the right.
Yeah.
And there's other politicians to the left.
Of course.
That's Xi, Putin, and Netanyahu.
Oh, gee, yeah.
That's Zelensky.
I see.
All right.
What's going on down here with the guy holding the strings?
Tanks.
I was going to say, what's he fucking flight sailing on, holding onto the world like it's a balloon? He's surfing out in space in the bottom right, Bobby. What do you think that symbolizes? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kicking it. He's kicking it. It's a ball. Oh. It symbolizes the World Cup. The World Cup is this year in Seattle.
Right.
I saw the same thing, Chad. I thought he was holding on to like a balloon and fucking parasailing.
They're doing the World Cup in LA too. Those are fucking events. Oh, yeah, it's 250 years of America. There's the 250 birth cake.
Yeah.
There. Isn't that in 2027 though? Look,
no, it's not. It's 2026.
Yeah, every even year, I think. Hold the evens. That fist,
hey, look,
top,
you guys,
is that Trump's fist from Fight, 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 or is that Black Power?
Who knows?
No, it looks like police state kind of symbolism. People getting locked up more.
They have
and then the American flag behind it.
You saw them, they turned around the whole legal THC marijuana stuff. So
yeah, Mitch McConnell snuck that in. Fucking jackass.
Yeah.
Wait, talking about that, what is it?
They stopped, they're going to stop selling THC in bodegas and stuff. Like, it's not legal anymore. And it was
federally,
the next
it's
year,
never been. Federally, it hasn't been, but he's saying on the state level?
Yeah, like all of it's banned. They're banning it.
No, so I think you're getting misconstrued here. I think what he's doing is the CBD. He's making it to where there can't be a certain level of THC in there, and so he's going to make like CBD harder to get, which is not good.
Yeah, there's going to be more regulations on that. I think that has to do with the pharmaceutical companies. To be honest with you,
for sure. Absolutely.
They're losing a lot of money. Yeah.
That fucking sad sack of shit old motherfucker needs to just go away.
Yeah, man. It's crazy that
motherfucker has like the resets where he can't even fucking talk. And he's passing bills of this kind of shit. Like, fuck him.
Right.
All right. So, all right. You got the controller here. I mean, you got the controller. It's hooked up to. Yeah, you got a controller. It's hooked up to a little artificial intelligence brain. Mm-hmm. I think that symbolizes we're going to lose control of AI.
Why is there Blue Origin over there? The fucking rock, the Amazon.
Yeah.
Why is that there? Yeah.
Why is it bigger than Elon's?
And what's up with the cargo ship with fucking guns sticking out of it? Is that like some kind of planned attack?
Or is that Trump fucking blowing up the Venezuelan boats?
Yeah, but that's on the left side, though, with fucking Xi and Putin fucking.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Pointing at
this doesn't look state. Very calm. What's that?
In the lower left there, you got a humanoid robot carrying a package, which we know that's coming very soon.
I was saying that the guns of that ship are pointing at the birthday cake of 250 years for the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Chad, good pull on that, dude. Yeah, man. Hmm.
That's interesting. Then you got the dollar. The dollar looks like it's degrading cracking, yeah. or collapsing. Yeah.
Oh, so does Justice 2? Fucking degrading.
Justice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, doesn't the dollar sign
then, working on that?
Doesn't dollar sign usually have two lines in it?
Yeah, but still, we know.
No, it doesn't really. Yeah, exactly.
They're showing the ice thing. Melting. I see in the bottom of right course. Too. Meanwhile, Antarctica just got
you
billions
keep
more tons
pushing the bullshit
of...
fucking climate agenda.
Yeah.
Yo.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy beside Trump? Who's the guy beside Trump and the woman beside Trump? Who are those people?
I think that's Marjorie Taylor, to be honest.
Oh, I think the guy in the left. Blue is the Indian president because that's how he dresses. He usually has a vest on, isn't it? What do you think?
Or, could be.
Maybe. I'm not sure about that one.
If that's Marjorie Taylor Greene, they got that wrong. Who are the boxers?
Yeah, she just left.
Yeah, she's
boxers,
retiring
the
two
UFC.
Days after she gets her pension for life.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, isn't that nice? She's supposed to be the fiscal conservative, but she waited 2 days after she is guaranteed life pension and her fucking medical benefits to retire from Congress. Oh, okay.
So wait, you only have to do one term? Or is that
5 years? 5 years.
5 years. Oh, so two terms, basically.
Yeah.
These are just really so symbolic of what they have coming up, you know, like if you looked at earlier Economist magazines, they pretty much show you what's coming.
Well, they showed the Hamas attack, right?
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Foreshadowing. See the crash.
They got
the pennies are going away. Pennies are going away.
They're saying the last couple minted pennies could be worth like multi-millions of dollars.
Of course. What's further up here? We kind of see, like, can't see.
Yeah,
the
scroll
very
up, Bobby.
Right. Yeah, like
So we got. What the fuck is? So what's the old ship with?
We got a bunch of these.
Yeah, a lot of those.
Oh, this looks like. I don't understand.
What's going on with like that? Some kind of an urn. It's like an old Greek or
almost,
Egyptian ship from back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, it's how they put Osama bin Laden out the pasture, right? Didn't they throw his dead body overboard?
Apparently, they did off the aircraft carrier. But
yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
I don't like how they're showing the Earth is round, though, Bobby. I mean, don't they know it's flat and has a top?
I wanted to get into one other thing besides this. There's this movie. It's called.
Oh wait, go back to that real quick, Bobby. I think I saw Zelensky. Go back to that real quick.
Yeah, he pointed that out.
Yeah, he was in. All right, there's this movie called Bugonia.
Scarlet Bugonia?
I definitely recommend. No, it's with Emma Stone. These two guys, they kidnap her thinking she's an alien. Mm. And she's the head of a pharmaceutical company that's actually like they injured one of the guy's mother.
Right.
All right, I recommend this movie. This is just the part from the movie that I'm going to show.
Do we need to say spoiler alert? Spoiler alert.
It kind of is a spoiler.
This is the ending. How dare you, Bobby? Sorry, gracious audience.
But I just want to show you the symbology in it. It's nuts. It blew me away when I saw it.
If you plan to watch this movie, tune out right now.
All right. You guys see it, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Shell walks up to the flat Earth that is in the middle of the room, the representation we've been seeing as title screens through the movie. and she slowly uses a wand-like object to pierce and pop a bubble, which is over the top of the Earth.
The firmament.
Which, again, was actually represented on the screens that you saw denoting the date throughout the movie. She looks sadly down at the planet, and we fade to a montage of clips that show all of the humans have died. We are shown all types of humans all around the world in all manners of life, jobs, and activities, and that we all died in an instant. In one nod to her story earlier, we see museum goers laying dead under the fossils of dinosaurs, symbolic of the Andromedans accidentally killing those earlier on in history. We see that it doesn't matter if you were in slums, on a beach, on a boat, or at work, you are all gone. But here's what is important during this scene is that we see a dog, a cat, and a bird flying still all alive, letting us know that it's only the humans who have been exterminated. And then we are back in Teddy's garden, just like the beginning of the movie, and we watch as bees pollinate the flowers. And the movie ends. But what did this ending mean? Was she really an alien? And why did they wipe us out? What did the writer and the director say? And is this ending tragic, or is it something else entirely different? Here's everything you need to know, but first, now is a great time to like and subscribe if you didn't already, and join the movie club. Think of it like a book club for movies, so also let everyone know in the comments what you thought of Begonia. Begonia ends with this...
Is this movie new, old? When did it come out? I mean, it looks like it's kind of...
It just came out. Came out October 31st on Halloween.
On what platform?
More symbolism. It was in the movie theater.
Oh.
In the movie theater. I think you could see it on Netflix. I watched it on Cinesphere. You could watch for free. That's an app you could download and watch movies for free.
Don't tell them your illegal things on here.
How
Bobby.
The hell do you spell Begonia?
Begonia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it. It's about B-A-G? The Andromedans.
O-N-I-A? Begonia, I think.
What is it? B-A-G?
B-O-G.
B-O-G.
Oh. B-O-G.
Oh, yeah,
I put it in the chat. I put it in the chat. B U G O N I A. Emma Stone. Emma Stone. Yeah, Emma Stone is in it. They shave her head. She was like bugging about them shaving her head.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, they couldn't give her a fucking skull cap like they do for most actresses. My Skims came in with my Merkin on them. I'll be wearing them next week, folks.
Oh,
so get
nice,
ready
dude.
For that.
Fucking show us on live on. I don't see it on Netflix. You got to show us.
Larry Hankin's going to. Yeah, Larry Hankin's going to get
it. Yeah, it's a really interesting movie.
I'm trying to. It's not on Netflix. I just searched for it. Maybe it's on Prime.
Yeah, check Amazon. I mean, it should be on one of them. I watched it last night. It's fucking. It blew my mind.
Dun, dun, it's a
really
dun.
Interesting movie.
So what do you think, Bobby?
B-U-G, Begonia.
B-U-G-O-N-I-A with Emma Stone.
Oh, there it is. It's here. I can rent or buy it on fucking... On, yep. Can,
see, that's why I download Cinesphere. C-I-N-I-Sphere.
Do this so no one hears you.
Get it for free.
So it's not probably
or condone this behavior on.
It probably just came out in a movie theater or something like that. It'll be free sometime soon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it says Showtime.
It just came
it's
out.
Playing
October.
Now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's still playing. Yeah.
Well, check it out.
Yeah.
So thank did you find that YouTube video talking about it? Then is that what happened?
What's that?
So you found that was that a YouTube video of them talking about the movie? Was that?
Yeah.
Watch the movie and then go search YouTube and see what. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Davy Crockett. All right, there, Bobby. Anything else? You just want to say goodbye to the gracious audience.
Nah, goodbye, everybody. Have a good Thanksgiving. Bless you all. Thank you for watching. Like and subscribe.
Yes, please like, share, subscribe, people.
Comment.
We should start doing that at the beginning of the show. Let's bring up our QR code for our sponsors. Check them out, folks. Put it up there for you. Don't forget, it is goodfeels.com, Old Javits, or Eric Javits, and then oldglory.com.
Don't confuse the two. Old Javits.
Do not do that.
Eric Glory.
Yeah. But you scan that, you guys get 15 to 20% off, and they're all good products. You definitely want that 15% off Eric Javits. A little pricey, but hey, Melania Trump wears them. So if it's good enough for the first lady, it's mucho bueno for us.
Mucho bueno.
Hey, tú hablas español. Paquito,
Paquito. ¿Dónde está el baño?
Yeah, I say that to people. I'm like, tú hablas español, Paquito? Like, speak Spanish little, and then they start rattling off. I'm like, no, not right. that yeah. much.
It's like, I'm just trying to see if, yes. And then I'm like, hey, man, slow down.
Simmer down.
You lost me.
Exactamundo. But a lot of cool stuff coming up on the horizon. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Tune in next week for Mr. Larry Henkin. And please like, share, subscribe, follow everything you can to spread the word about the Gracious Two. We will be forever in your debt. We appreciate everybody coming on this journey with us. We're going black screen.
Later.